Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. Jordan and Lexi here.
Hi.
How's it going?
Hello. Good. I'm pulling up my notes for today's topic. I'm excited. What have you been up to today? How are you?
Good. What do we do? We went to a yard sale this morning and we went to that favorite thrift store that I have, in town. And oh my gosh, I got so many cute little clothes for Providence. They had tons of really cute little girl clothes there today. So we did that. And then we have some friends that might be moving here. So we went and looked at a house for them, which was really cool. And honestly, you would have loved it, Lexi. Whenever we were there, I was like, Lexi and Brian would love this place. There was an outdoor freezer, like a big, it looked like a shed, but it was like an outdoor freezer. Huh. So then when you like slaughter animals, you can put them in this outdoor freezer. It was
very cool.
Like a giant garden and a greenhouse. And it was a really cool place. That's basically what you've been doing.
That's cool. Just the children were outside all morning playing, getting filthy.
Yeah.
So I was making food.
Yeah.
So we could go play outside.
What'd you have for lunch today? I was like, that'd be a good icebreaker. What'd you have for lunch today?
Today we had hard-boiled eggs, sauerkraut, and leftover pizza.
Nice. What's your favorite sauerkraut?
I don't like sauerkraut.
Oh.
I just make myself eat it.
Okay.
I like the, it's Eden's brand, I think, is what I get from Azure. Cause it's a raw one.
Okay. Have you tried the Bubby's brand?
I haven't tried the Bubby's. No, nope. We've done their pickles though.
Yeah. I love their pickles. And I've seen they have sauerkraut, but I haven't tried it before.
Eden's, it's shelf stable. A lot of the other raw sauerkrauts you have to like refrigerate from day one, mm-hmm. but I can buy a big pallet of this from Azure and just stick it in my food storage closet and then just move it to the fridge as we use it. So that's why I like their stuff.
Sweet.
What'd you guys have?
I made the Lily Nichols on Fridays. Jared home. So I cook a bigger lunch than I normally do on Fridays. But I made in the Lily Nichols book in the back, there's, all the recipes I've tried out of that I really like, but this one was a coconut curry, but it was more like, it had like spinach and green beans and green peppers and like more veggies in it than my normal coconut curry does.
So was it just like a vegetable one?
Yeah, it had chicken too. But normally when I make a coconut curry, it's just like chicken and maybe green beans or maybe bell peppers. But this one had quite a few different things and it was really good. I liked it. But
I forgot that we did still have some of her meatballs left over that my boys ate. It was just like a leftover lunch.
Yeah. Did you like those meatballs?
I think I would have preferred the texture better either with, cause I usually use oatmeal in my meatballs, but I used coconut flour just cause she had called for it. And I had some randomly on hand.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I didn't like the texture a ton, but yeah, like the flavor was fine.
Yeah.
I just might use oatmeal next time instead.
Yeah. All right. So we were going to talk about this quote that I read in Let Me Be a Woman this past week, and it's been on my mind. So I thought, well, we could just chat about this quote. So it says, "It is a misguided kind of super spirituality that attempts to erase all distinctions between Christians. It is a form of escapism, an evasion of responsibility, and a serious distortion of truth. Thank the giver of this great gift, Valerie. Don't join those who apologize for it or want to make you forget it. It wasn't your idea to begin with. It was your creator's. And what a courageous creator he is. Your obedience to him will help other women to be women and men to be men."
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I love this quote. I just thought it was so bold, like this whole book is. And I like it that she talks about like, that it's actually an evasion of responsibility when we attempt to erase distinctions between Christians, between men and women. And I was thinking even earlier, like denying gender roles is actually, cowardly and, in my opinion, kind of lazy, because instead of saying like, this is my lane that God has called me to, we're just kind of like, oh, any lane, like we're all the same lane, but we're not actually taking responsibility for a lane. So no one takes responsibility for the lane. You know, it's one of those, like when people say it'll just work out, you know, and it's like, well, it works out because people put the work in and make it work out, you know? It always bothers me when people are like, it'll just work out. I'm like, okay, but that just means someone else is going to do it.
You mean like, if you're questioning, well, like, how is this practically going to work for you guys? If they're like functionally egalitarian, is that what you mean?
No, I was just meaning like, if you're saying, hey, so in the backyard, blah, 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 this needs to happen. And if someone were to be like, it'll just work out. And you're like, okay, so I'm just going to do it. All right. So what I'm saying is like, if nobody takes responsibility for what God's called them to specifically, like if you're going to not say that women are called to the home, then we really are just kind of being lazy and saying, well, anything will do. I'm not going to take responsibility for this. So anyways, yeah, she talks a little bit of that, of the evasion of responsibility whenever we don't say that there is specific calls to men and women.
We were talking in our book group this week, there was a little section kind of similar to this where she was talking about like part of why women are willing to work outside the home is because they're forgetting the glory of homemaking basically. But it kind of reminded me of like, what is it like if you think toilet cleaning is beneath you and being a CEO is where you're really gonna, you know, find your glory, what is it saying about the person you're paying to clean your toilet or to watch your kids? Like, it's degrading the person that you're using to facilitate the job that you should be doing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's dishonoring and dehumanizing to other people just because you're really putting yourself on the pedestal.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And I think in this quote, I think some people would think of Galatians 3:28, where it's like, there's not slave nor free, Greek nor Jew, male nor female. You know what I'm talking about, that verse? I can pull it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I'll say it correctly here. Yeah. So there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I think people misuse this verse to like say things like this aren't true. Like, oh, see, we're all the same. That they just erase gender, but really like that's talking about that we're all on equal footing for in terms of our salvation, that we're all equally heirs, as the next verse. And if you're Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Like, we're all equally heirs. We're all equally saved through Christ. But this doesn't mean that we're not male and female. We have commands all throughout scripture, specifically to males, specifically to females, even things to slaves and masters. So, it's not erasing all those scriptures and commands that God gave us. It's just saying that we are equal in Christ.
I think that's a really, really good point. I'm glad you said that because I think we forget the sanctification is actually engendered and it will look a particular way once we get, you know, to the new earth, to heaven with the Lord. It's not going to be, we're not going to be neutered, sanctified people.
Yeah. Yeah. That we're not really, we're not looking at it the right way if we're not thinking about sanctification as a woman. Like, there are specific ways that God is sanctifying me as a woman, and my husband as a man. So we can't just say like, we're all just the same in this. God's doing the same things in all of us. It's like, no, he's specifically sanctifying me as a woman. I like also where she talks about that our obedience to him will help other women to be women and men to be men.
Yes.
I think it's the C.S. Lewis that says the Christian virtue that holds all virtues together is courage. That like, to be faithful, you have to be courageous. To be patient, you have to be patient. So like, courage is a really important part of the Christian walk, that we have to be courageous enough to be feminine in today's society, especially. And if culture keeps going the way that it is, then we're just going to have to more and more have to be courageous in our feminine pursuits and our desire to obey God as a woman. We have to be courageous in that. And if you don't have courage, honestly, like you're just going to fold at this point. Like yeah. everything in the world is trying to make us fold. And if you don't have courage, that's what's going to happen. And if you aren't concerned about the glory of God and obedience to him, then fear of man is just going to creep in, I think. And just, you're going to end up just trying to please people instead of pleasing God. So I think as we're, you know, living our life and going on in this, like, we have to remember, like, our obedience to God will help other people, the whole follow me as I follow Christ thing. Like, being a woman hopefully will influence other people around us to be more feminine.
Yeah, I did want to mention, we talked about this a little bit, that there's actual camps even within Reformed churches that believe it's legalistic to say that, because they would say, you know, like, well, what does that mean if your husband's looking at porn, you're telling this woman that she's not being basically workspace enough. She's not feminine enough for her husband. So it's her fault that he's looking at porn. And that's not what we're saying. Part of his masculine responsibility is being self-controlled in masculine ways, just like part of her feminine responsibility is being feminine in certain ways. And it does. We are not islands unto ourselves. Sin affects the people we're in community with, and acting as if that's not the case is just, we're really lying and hurting those around us.
Right.
I did want to mention, like, okay, so last week I saw on Instagram, there was, I don't remember the account and you don't need to go look anyways. There was this gardening account I followed, this gal. I didn't know she was going to post this as I was flipping through. It was like a picture of her naked gardening. Okay.
And wait, she was gardening naked?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And the caption was like, we're all just animals anyways. And I thought, why in the world would you want to exchange being a crown of creation for being an animal?
Right.
Like, we've just lost so much of the glory of femininity and masculinity that we're willing to say, oh yeah, I'm just a rhinoceros. And I know it sounds silly, but like literally that's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that I'm showing you my full body right now. I'm just an animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. It's just, it really is mystifying how like we just miss out on a lot when we try to obscure, like her quote says, like when we try to obscure these things, we miss out on so much.
Yeah. Was that what you were telling me about? Like the courageous, you said something about, or the kind of woman that, I don't remember, something on Instagram. Was that the one that you were going to talk about?
Yes. Yes. That was the one. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen people post things. It's like, I can't even remember. I think the hashtag is like free the nipple or something like that. Have you seen that? Okay.
But yes, I've heard reference of it. Yes.
Okay. But basically it's women like, our naked bodies shouldn't be any big deal. Like you should just look at my boobs and it's no big deal. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, yes, God made women and men glorious. Like our bodies are not something to be shameful of, like, or like seen as like, this is like something dirty. I'm not saying that in any way, but like there is, okay, modesty. Yes. And also just knowing like, God made us for a specific purpose. Like our bodies are for a specific purpose, not to just like that. That's some kind of freedom. I think they're trying to portray, like it's some kind of freedom to just show our naked bodies. It's like, no.
Well, and it's just not like freedom. There's a theme throughout all of scripture that glorious things are covered. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, there's tons of things that are covered in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, when it talks about like the less honorable among us, well, not the less honorable, it's not the word they use. When it's talking about the spiritual gifts, mm-hmm. like the weaker vessels, maybe they talk about how it's because they're honored more that we're covering them up. And we've lost that. And I think part of it is because we don't have proper shame anymore, mm-hmm. in the sense of shame that leads us to repentance in the gospel, mm-hmm. because we don't have that anymore. we uncover it all. And it's just, you know, all you're left with then you're debasing yourself. All you can look at yourself as is an animal because you don't properly know what you are for, what you are created for. So yeah. We should be sad for these women, these naked women.
Yeah. It's funny because you can see in society this deep desire for freedom, for like a, it's like a longing for an actual freedom, like the kind that Christians know is found in Christ alone. Yeah. But it's like searching in all these weird different ways for this freedom. It's like, maybe if I just be naked for everyone, that'll do it. Like, maybe I'll actually feel free from this burden on my back. If I just show the world my boobs, that'll do it.
It makes them feel like it is. It's a false gospel. It's I have nothing to hide, so I will show it all.
Yeah. 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 But really it's like, okay, you're still trying to cover your sin up with a loosen of freedom.
Yes.
It's interesting.
Oh, that's such a good point. Yeah. It is interesting.
So, in your life and, like as God has brought you along in a lot of stuff with the biblical femininity and things, like, have you found in your marriage, like, complementing each other with your femininity and his and Brian's masculinity, have you found that that has like grown and complemented each other?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially as we've had more kids and we've like been through more, you know, not huge but small trials, where a lot depends on me acting feminine and him acting masculine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where we couldn't make it otherwise.
Yeah.
If mm-hmm. he wasn't willing to act like a man and I wasn't willing to submit and follow and serve as a woman.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely.
For sure. During, I know for us, like during those times of trials, there is like some really cool sweetness that happens between the two of us. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, mm-hmm. I really needed him to be a protector in that moment, or I really needed him to be a provider in that moment, or a leader in that moment. And seeing him come through in that way it's just been so sweet in our marriage. And there's like specific times in my mind that that I'll never forget, just like really, really cool moments of God just like bringing out that in both of us and the ways that it's complemented and grown each other. So yeah, I think too,
as a pastor's wife who gets to see some of the behind the scenes of just different marriages in the church over the years, not any one specific person, but watching people who have struggled like with big, hard things in their marriage, sin issues from the past before they're believers, watching husbands and wives grow in their masculinity and femininity and see them come so far by God's grace out of just horrible, bad, sinful habits, really. Mm-hmm. And just see their entire families be changed, mm-hmm. like the kids from mom and dad down to the kids mm-hmm. and into the next generation. God is just redeeming family lines because men are acting like men and women are willing to act like women.
Yeah. And in this quote also talks about like, don't be among those that apologize for it or let people try to make you forget it. Like live to the hilt like a woman. And the reason that this book is called Let Me Be a Woman is there's a little line in there. Well, I'm assuming this is why she called it this. There's a little line in there where she's like, what if Eve would have just said to Satan, instead of him trying to get her to be like God, what if she would have just said, no, let me be a woman. In the garden to the serpent. And it's like, what if there is a generation of women that rise up and are courageous enough to be like, no, I don't need to be a man. Let me be a woman. And that we spur each other on, that we have courage enough to say, hey, it's okay. Like, just be a woman. You don't have to do every lane out there. Be courageous enough to be a woman. Be courageous enough to encourage your husband to be a man. And your children mm-hmm. to grow up to be men and women, designed specifically to glorify God in their masculine and feminine ways. Like, what if we spur each other on? What if we spur our kids on? Like, what amazing things God will do in generations to come. And I'm really hopeful of that. Like, how crazy the past year has been in terms of like gender and craziness and I could say so much right now, but you know, you all know when I say the craziness of the past year, when it comes to those terms, like even in that, like I am hopeful that there's enough people that have seen, like it has gotten crazier and crazier that there's no like middle ground anymore, I'm hoping. And that people will be like, okay, God has called women to certain things and men to certain things. And, I'm hopeful for a reformation in the church and in the world in terms of that. So Yeah, be courageous. Live like a woman to its hilt. Like, be courageous enough to be a woman.
Yeah, I've used that hashtag for a while. So if you guys want to start using it, maybe it'll catch on.
Yeah, I like it.
Kind of like talking back to the feminists.
Yeah, exactly. Let me be a woman. Stop it. Stop trying to make me be a man. Isn't it funny that feminists are a lot of times the least feminine in their look and act and everything? Isn't that just interesting? Just a side note, but
it is interesting because they're all probably on a hormonal things trying to change them into men and act like men. And
yeah. So anyway, yep. Okay. That's all I got for that one.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay. Well, thanks for now.
Bye, guys.